Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right on Coffee Party Radio. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. For some reason today, when I set up the great old Blog Talk Radio, I placed the show 1 hour early, not realizing that we were on Eastern Time and not Central Time, where it's where I'm at. I'm at in Texas on Central Standard Time. Anyhow, I had to rush, delete that show, re-prepare this particular show, and get it all on time. And by golly, there was no entry song to start the show. So I guess I'll have to work on that for next week. Anyhow, what are we going to talk about today? What are we going to talk about today? Employment report, regulations, and party switching. What exactly does that mean? Folks, please do remember, this is a call-in show. Please feel free to give me a call. I love to take your calls at 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Now, what do you think about, before I get into anything else, I want to talk about that prayer breakfast, because it's apparently raising hell in the current establishment. It's raising hell in the right wing echo chamber, if you will. And the question is, why? Why is it raising hell in the right wing echo chamber? And folks, I will get to our actual other topics thereafter. But before I came on to the show, I was actually listening to the prayer breakfast, and I tell you what, I have a snippet that I'm going to blog later on. I'm going to also place it both on Coffee Party and on Daily Coast. But it's interesting to note that the speech that the president gave at the prayer breakfast this week is a speech that should actually be a sermon. Evangelical churches. It's an instructive piece where the president spoke about humility, the humility of not thinking you know it all, the humility of not thinking that your religion is the be all to all, the humility of realizing that in the past, we as Americans, the virtues that we put out there wasn't the virtues that we lived by. It was amazing. His not rhetoric, but fact-based speech on what religion was, is, and has become. The president called out those who believe that they are always in the right. The president called out, he reminded those of the Inquisition. He reminded them that not too long ago, in this country, in America, the land of the brave, the land of the free, the freedom-loving America, not long ago, people who actually looked like me suffered the same consequences that the pilot in the pilot that ISIS murdered. Many folk who look like me suffered that fate, not at the hands of the Muslims, but at the hands of the Christians who thought they had the right to do so. Later on, as I blog the president's speech to remind Americans that the behavior they saw by ISIS was also a behavior you could have seen here in America in the 1900s, pre-1900s. And you know what? it is behavior similar to that occurred just recently when that man in Texas was dragged with a chain behind a pickup truck. Careful, when we look at one's religion and the barbarity performed by many who have stolen or who claim they're doing it as a part of that religion, let's be careful, because much was done in America. Much was done in America based on our dominant religion. So as the president said, humility is in order. The right wing is going crazy about him making those statements. They are stating that he had no right to say it. They're stating that it was a false equivalence. It's not. They were claiming the reality is what happened, or what is happening, is that they have realized that sometimes when pointing fingers, one finger may be pointing forward, but there are three more pointing back. Sometimes four more pointing back. It is something we better heed. I mean, when we talk about the barbarity of others, the barbaric behavior of others, we should also remember our own barbaric behavior. In these times of electronic warfare and robots, barbaric behavior can be rather antiseptic. Firsthand, as an original citizen, a naturalized citizen originally from Panama, I can tell you that. When the United States came into Panama to get rid of Noriega, the leader of the country then, the general running the country then, they came in with bombs blazing. They tested, from what we understand, the stealth fighter on a country that has no navy, no air force, no marines, and close to where my father lived, there were helicopters all over as they decimated the cuarteles. The cuarteles are the areas where the headquarters for the soldiers. They blew up everything in these areas. Everything in Colón, Panama, and David, the three major capital cities of the three major provinces. And surrounded these cuarteles were homes, or rather tenements, where thousands of people lived. And these were all decimated rubble. We don't know the exact figures of how many died. It was amazing to see that the United States official report was, I think, under 1,000. I think the UN report was something on the order of 4,000 to 5,000. Real Panamanians know that the big graves that were dug with the press media not allowed, entombed thousands, likely a minimum of 10,000 dead Panamanians, to get a general who once worked for the CIA and was smuggling drugs. Smuggling drugs to an America who wanted drugs. A free capitalist general. But what I'm saying is that carnage was not seen by Americans. The next question, when Iraq was bombed and we had, what was it called then? I don't remember the term. Shock and awe. On TV, it seemed like we were watching a video game. It was beautiful. I remember sitting down in front of the TV when shock and awe began, and you saw the lights and you saw the explosions. And has anybody wondered what was at the other side of those explosions? Has anybody wondered the broken bones, the busted spleens, the cracked heads, is what people think of us when those bombs were falling. Antiseptic war. They show us the barbaric behavior pleasantly. Our barbaric behavior is never quite seen. And we can call it war if we want to, but when America invaded Granada, when America invaded Panama, there was nobody who first was shooting at America. So again, perspective is everything. President had to say with regards to humility, we should all be humble. We should all be humble. And for Bill Maher and all the Islamophobes out there that think the president is wrong for not calling out Islam as the cause for the barbaric behavior of the some, look in the mirror. If you're a Christian, look in the mirror. Whomever you are, look in the mirror. Your hands are not clean. We should all remember these things because we have a tendency, we have a horrendous news media. A news media that does not try to do its job and tell Americans what our government is doing outside of America. So we think we're getting them over there so they don't come over here because they hate us, because they hate our freedom. Really. That statement, how does a statement like that even metastasize into our psyche? They hate our freedom. What does our freedom have to do with them? What do our freedom have or inflict on them over there of our freedom? And they don't hate us, period. The rest of the world, for all practical purposes, love Americans. That's why they love our food. That's why they love what we do. They love our character. They love our verbosity. They love our just the way of being. But when you have a government controlled by a plutocracy who oppresses to get what they want and what they need, the blowback can be hell. President had to say at that prayer breakfast is a start. It is something that would do that Christians, that specifically at evangelical churches, would do well to heed. Maybe they should take the clip that I'm going to compress from the president's speech and play it for their congregation. Islamophobes out there, from Bill Maher right back, you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. And the stances that you take is not a stance that makes us more safe. It's a stance that is no different than the stance we took when we locked up the Japanese during World War II. It is the stance that you take when you mistreat, when you kill, when you damage what you know not or whom you do not know. Anyhow, folks, today what are we going to talk about? Sorry for that long monologue there, but it really, Beach really got to me, and I was happy to see that a born American citizen could make the types of statements that he made, statements that he ought to have known, would have simply deranged the right wing appropriately because of the hypocrisy that they represent, because of the hypocrisy that they promote, because of the hate that drives their movement. This was a busy week, folks. The economy is solidly rebounding. We had a great employment report. Another story that piqued my interest was, you know, I take a whole lot of supplements because I work out a whole lot, and especially since after the Christmas and trying to lose a few pounds, I'm eating quite a bit less, which means those supplements are even more important. Suffice it to say, I was flabbergasted by a report that said a lot of these supplements that I was taking was nothing more than fillers, not the chemical, the supplements, the minerals, the vitamins that should be in them. Sad. The reality is there are those who are promoting less regulations. We need to get the burden of regulations off of business. I say we need more regulations. I also want to touch on a story that occurred on Wednesday. I blogged it yesterday. I think I placed it on the Coffee Party website and Daily Coast last night. I was working till, I don't know, 2 in the morning trying to get all this stuff done. But it's worth watching. Mississippi, former Mississippi State Republican Senator Tim Johnson switched from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party. His reason sounded like he became a staunch liberal. And by the way, I said Democratic Party, but what I mean, we understand that the Democratic Party is not really a liberal party, but the speech that he gave was a rather liberal speech. This guy came out saying his party does not support paying women. I do. He came out saying you're not rebuilding the infrastructure I want to. Came out saying they don't want Obamacare. I do. Wow. Anyhow, folks, what do you think of the report? The telephone number, 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. This is a call-in show. If you want to talk, please press the number 1, and I'll pick up on you. Again, if you want to talk, please press the number 1. So about the jobs report, it turns out that we've created 257,000 new jobs. And what else has happened? All the numbers from the last month were also increased substantially. So we are in a boom. The only president that has created this many jobs since, our era was President Clinton. There are some issues that needs to be mitigated, but all in all, this is a better jobs report than most believe. Now, I have somebody on 936 that I'm coming to now. 936, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hey, Berto, this is Bruce.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing, my friend? Talk to me.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I wanted to say with your monologue, you had a program the other day with someone on, and they were talking about how the Muslims ought to be condemning the ISIS and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to say that the Ku Klux Klan, they went to church and they professed to be Christians, and we did not condemn them. They were not shown to be non-Christian in that vein.
You know, that is so true, Bruce, and it is important that message, I believe, I honestly believe, more than I can, people like you can put that message out there. Because, as it turns out, I find it amusing, not amusing, that's the wrong word. I find it amazing that history that isn't all that far away, or even the history of James Byrd being pulled in a chain behind a pickup truck in what's in Little Texas Town, East Texas Town. Can never remember the name of the East Texas Town. But anyhow, these are not barbaric issues that are occurrences that are so far in our rearview mirror that we cannot see it. And, you know, look, let me tell you something. ISIS is an evil organization, you know, that believe they're at war. I mean, we have actually evil people, not at war, that have such a degree of hate that they would do these types to a fellow human being, a fellow citizen. So, I mean, you are so right, Bruce, and I'm happy that somebody like yourself is making that statement, and I sure hope you make that statement often, especially in these times.
Okay. One other thing, you were saying the economy has recovered and is coming back very strong now. One of the reasons is that the price of oil and gasoline has gone down, and that's put more money into people's pockets. So when they have money, they spend, it increases the economy, it does very well. So it says that the Democratic belief that putting money in poorer people's hands can increase the economy and trickle down does not work. It hasn't worked. We've got the wealthy have more wealth than ever in the past. If that was working, we would have had a bustling economy. But it didn't happen until people got more money and was able to spend.
You're so, Bruce, you know what worries me? You know, everything that you said is absolutely true. It's funny because Bill Maher had I just blogged this last night as well. Bill Maher had a clip where he said Sarah Palin went out there and she gave an incoherent speech. And the speech was so incoherent that even the guy who wrote a book praising Sarah Palin came out and said, was I wrong about Sarah Palin? You betcha. And he wrote an article saying that. And a whole lot of people, Sean Hannity and all her ilk, turned against her. So, I mean, as far as Bill Maher was concerned, which in this case he was right, he said, well, look, guys, you finally come to the realization of a truth. You've changed your mind of a few other things. Could you please change your mind in believing that we must send the 12 million 12 million undocumented Americans, undocumented aliens back to Mexico. Could you please stop, change your mind that trickle-down economics worked or ever work? And then you had a rather funny thing. You said, let me tell you something. If you give a wiener, if you have three dogs and you give a wiener to just one dog, believing that that one dog is going to say, okay, dog number two, take a piece of this wiener, and dog number three, take a piece of this wiener, you're dreaming. The dog who gets the wiener generally eats it all.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, it is amazing. But, yeah, we have all the evidence, Bruce, that trickle-down economics doesn't work. We also know, you know, economics is part science and part psychology, right? Because it really depends on, you're assuming, when you make policy, fiscal policy, you actually assume that you are making a good guess on what the behavior of human beings are going to be that are performing under that particular policy. So trickle-down had the theory that if you throw all the money up top, they will let it flow down because they best know how to make money multiply or how to use money in such a manner, or capital is a better word. They know how to use capital, and because they know how to use capital, the way they're going to use capital, it's going to trickle all the way down and everything is going to be very good. That's a bet that they made, and it was just based on psychology, on the behavior of people, we knew that it wouldn't work. But the science part about it said something else. The science part about it, or I should say arithmetic is a science. The math part of this thing tells a very good story. If you have less money and you want more things, and if you have less money than the things that you want, and you get more money, you can get more of the things that you want. And if you get more of the things that you want, it means the economy is going up. If you give it to a rich person, it doesn't matter if he has $1 billion or $100 billion. He cannot spend any more to buy more things. And that is mathematics. How could you not see that?
Well, Rick Hauer has mentioned that he had a pillow factory, and he couldn't sell any more to the rich people because they had all the pillows they could use. So that's
right.
You just mentioned that same thing. But could I mention one other thing?
Yes, sir.
We're having Yolando Jones. I believe you know her out of Houston. She's coming up to McGovern County and is going to be speaking the last Friday of this month up at Montgomery County. And Yolando,
are you talking about the lawyer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's the real tall woman.
Yes.
Yolanda.
Interesting story. She's also a very good athlete, and she was on city council. And she left there because she was trying to keep the police from beating up on black people. So
right.
That is now
when is she coming?
Passed. So,
when is she coming?
She's coming the last Friday of February.
Oh, my God.
To the Democratic
headquarters
in Montgomery County.
Excellent. I probably can make it because on Saturday I'll be in Austin with the Daily Coast. We have one of our regional meetings out there on the 28th. So that will be great. I'll try my best to make it. Give me a shout during the other show. Let's try kind of give you some coverage on that thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention, Bruce?
Well, I've got lots of things to mention, but I think you ought to go to another caller, and I'll talk to you later.
And you can mention a few other things before I get. I think I have Jack on the other line, and I'll bring Jack in afterwards.
Okay. There's a Laffner curve that Arthur Laffner came out with under Reagan. And he was saying that if you raise the interest rate or tax rate, that the revenue would fall down. That only works if you're talking about a flat tax, and we have a progressive tax. So it doesn't work, and it's been false, but the Republicans have been basing all of their taxing theories on that doesn't work. Kansas,
well,
I'm sorry?
Yes, go ahead.
Kansas has Laffner has been advising Brownback in Kansas about their economic condition, and now they're going broke. And they have just doubled down again with the Republican way of taxing and governing, and they're going to be going broke there. California has used another method, and that is to go ahead and tax the wealthy people, and they're doing very well. So there's interesting precedent there.
You know what is interesting, Bruce? We have, and this is what drives me crazy about our politics. We have examples in both directions on all these issues. First of all, beforehand, I want to say that several years ago, I wrote an article on the Laffer curve, okay? And I called it, the Laffer curve is but a laugher. Or rather, I called it, the Laffer curve is but a laugh. because it has been disproven by so many. It has been disproven entirely and completely that his theories don't work. And what is funny is that he writes these articles, and he goes from legislature to legislature, and they put him on stage, and he talks his talk, makes no sense. He never has real data to provide where any of what he says actually works. I mean, it has failed federally. It has destroyed the budget in Kansas. Brownback was about to lose an election. Absent this being a wave election, he would have lost the election. But as usual, we have to teach our people to vote in both presidential and off-year elections. We have to get that done, Bruce. We have to get that done.
Yes, and one more point now. There was a in the paper about how Montgomery County representatives have put in a bill in the Texas legislation about doing away with the franchise tax. The franchise tax only hits people or companies over $1 million. So they're going
right.
to do away with it and take that the funds out. What they should do is reduce the sales tax by a penny. That would help everybody instead of helping the rich. And that's going
that
on now.
Yeah, I mean, that is what they're debating in Congress. I mean, in here in the state capitol, right?
Yes, it is. And your representative in SD4 is doing it, too.
who you're talking about? You mean 21. You're talking about, God, I forgot his name. But anyhow, let me ask you to do me a favor. If you have any links on the current bill, I'd love to have it because I want to write up. I want to start doing some Texas blogging to on what the legislature is doing, kind of open people's eyes because nobody follows what they're doing. They kind of work there with very few people paying attention.
Oh, great. That would be great. I was talking to Mike Collier the other night and asking him, would he have like a shadow government that people who ran like him for controller could then mention things of what the controller is doing and what he would do? Get that
I
contrast
love that idea.
Of that.
I love, what did he say?
He said yes. He's going to be running next time, so he's a great candidate, and he's still being active and involved with the politics now.
Yeah, I notice I still get his emails. But, Bruce, I'm leaving you hot. Let me bring Jack in to see what Jack wants to add. Good old Jack. How are you doing, buddy?
Okay, this is okay. All this thing about religion.
Yeah.
Okay, Facebook is pushing me towards atheism. It's another thing. Atheism is an extreme rejection of religion. All right, there is cruelty among Muslim, and we should stamp out the jihad is a problem. Now, what was I going to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want to say that I have benefited a little bit, very slightly. I was surprised when they raised the pension and the Social Security last month. And Obama did it by 1.7%. And,
right, so you got your cost of living.
It's benefited me. Maybe I got $40,000-$50,000 more on my income. And that's a real surprise. The average middle class and poor people in my category, lower middle class, has not benefited too much. All right, so 250,000 jobs have been added last month. But it hasn't benefited me too much. I'm not looking for work.
Yeah, that's true. That is true that you're not looking for work, but it benefits you in other ways. I mean, the truth of the matter is we have a vibrant economy. People are working. People are paying taxes. It also means, Jack, that the pressure on Congress to try to limit your entitlement become or lessened. You know, I mean, I want to kind of tackle a little something on that because I wrote about it earlier this week about Greece. Right now, as you know, Greece went ahead and elected a left-wing government, a left-wing prime minister who decided austerity does not work. Krugman told them all, and many other politicians said, made it quite clear that Rygoff was absolutely wrong when he claimed that when you reach 100% of debt, the economy caves, all that good stuff. He got elected, and he's now doing his tour around Europe trying to get all these debts renegotiated or some of them forgiven, because he does not want his people, the people of Greece, who are not the ones responsible for making the silly decisions, who are not the ones responsible for putting the world into the state that it got into, that really made their debt even that much more onerous. He went around the Europe trying to get these things mitigated. And of course, Angela Merkel, the European Bank, the ECB, or I don't remember if that's what it's called, decided to come out full-throated that they're not renegotiating these debts, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, these banks want to continue to hold the new prime minister hostage. They told him, he campaigned on the promise of reinstituting pensions, increasing the minimum wage, and several other social benefits for these people that have been suffering under these draconian laws for over 3 years. He made some promises, and he wants to hold up his promises. They are telling these foreign governments, in order to protect these, are telling him to go back on the promises on which he was elected. Now, think about the precedence that that is setting. A foreign government telling a nationalist, you must go against what was promised when you got elected. I mean, look, the Greeks know there's a possibility that if they go through what they voted for, they'll be kicked out of the European Union. They don't necessarily want that, but they absolutely do not want austerity, nor do they deserve to have the type of draconian austerity that's being imposed on them. It's a whole generation about to get lost. We have the 20-something-year-olds never had a job or can't get a job. By the time they're 30, if you don't have a job in your 20s, you know what your economic loss is over your lifetime? This is what the European governments are forcing on to the average Greek citizen. I mean, this is also what the intent is of any Republican government that comes to pass. When you hear them talk about, we want to reduce entitlements. Nobody ever talks about reducing the military budget, but we want to reduce entitlements. I don't. We need to increase entitlements. We need to increase taxes on the top 1%, where most of the capital in this country resides. I know most of you saw the report from Oxfam. Oxfam stated that by 2020, I believe, or 2016, I believe it was, half of the world's wealth will be controlled by, I don't remember how many people they stated. 1%. Half the world's wealth. If that doesn't scare you, if that doesn't scare you into believing that when wealth gets that disparate, that eventually it breeds revolution. If you don't see that, even here in the United States, where everybody thinks we're just a very stable democratic country, for all those people that believe that, I ask you to go into certain towns in Appalachia, come into certain areas of Houston, come into certain areas of Miami, San Diego, and these other places, and see what is being bred. And see if you don't think, when some of those folk grow up without the nurturing, without an economy that backs them, if you're not going to have a generation of and who don't share what we now consider American values, a value for work, a value for life, and a value for all these things. And if you have a generation that has no value for life, no value for work, what you have is a generation ready to do harm to what they have no value for. Think about it. Think about it. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I think you're exactly right. Talking about Greece, they have over 25% unemployment rate over there. Their austerity is taking money out of the economy. They can't. They don't have a vibrant economy. And it's Germany and the northern countries that are saying austerity is what they want, but they're not doing very well with that. England and France, they're going away from austerity, and they're now starting to get their economy going by helping the wage owners. But here in this country, we've got three-quarters of our people that are just living paycheck to paycheck. It doesn't take but one accident where they go to a hospital and have a $1,000 bill at the emergency room to kick them into poverty. They can go bankrupt in a hurry. So just several years back, Elizabeth Warren was talking in like 2005 how 60% of all the bankruptcies was due to an illness. So we're living on the edge right here. We're no longer the best or the strongest middle class in the world. Europeans have more of a middle class that is helping their economy, even if they do have the wrong method for coming out of the economic slump. But they're not coming out nearly as fast as the United States is.
But you know what? I want to add something to that, Bruce, because I think it's important. We have to remember the differences between the United States and Europe. Our poor don't have something called a safety net of the sort that their poor have. In other words,
Exactly. Their
poor can always go see a doctor. Their poor can always go to a college. Their poor can do a whole lot of things. Our poor cannot. One of the things that you find with that is a lot of the utter despair that you have in areas that the reporters never go to is something I would challenge anyone to find in Europe. I mean, you won't find the extravagant, except maybe in England, France, and Germany, that you find here for the wealthy. I'm talking about those great imperialistic gated castles. But what you find is a standard of living that folks can survive and folks do not feel desperate. It doesn't destroy the fabric of the culture. My contention here right now is that our disparity is actually disintegrating the fabric of what the American culture used to be. And again, if you doubt it, that's the reason. Yeah, go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
Okay, I was just going to say that when the economy tanked and was going down rapidly, it was Europe that stayed up, and they stayed up because of their social programs that people were not losing all at once their livelihood. But in this country, we didn't have those social programs, and so when it hit, people were going bankrupt left and right. They were falling out because they were losing their jobs and other things, and they could not cope at all. So, yes, it's very important to have a safety net, and Europeans did have that. But in order to counter the economy, they went to an austerity program, and that just took away the breath that they already had with their social programs. That's why they're still in trouble, and they're not recovering yet.
Absolutely.
Do you see that?
Now, I want to. You're absolutely correct, Bruce. You're absolutely correct. I want to bring up one other point before I jump into some regulations here. But think about this. The only reason a lot of these right-wing, and their right-wing is a lot different than our right-wing. Their right-wing is what we would consider blue dog Democrats out here. But a lot of their right-wing, they want this austerity for a specific reason. And it's the same reason that our right wing wants to stop, the decline in entitlement, wants to cut entitlement. They want to break the social state. They want to ensure that they're more on the Ayn Rand type behavior or want to follow the Ayn Rand type policies. In other words, none of these guys really want to have a government that has to that has to finance a strong safety net, because those people who pay into a strong safe more into a strong safety net are those who make the most, and those who make the most want to keep it all. And it's not even, you know, I mean, there's this new term called envy economics put out by Rand,
Romney.
Right. Envy economics. Envy economics, that is a ridiculous term. You look at the numbers and you can see that what we have is extraction. Look, I always, for the first time listeners, I always give you a simple mathematical form. I mean, a formula that you can build. If the economy is growing at a slower rate than the riches of the wealthy are growing, meaning, let's say the economy is growing at 3%, but let's say the wealth of the wealthiest riches are growing at 7%. There is only one place where that money is coming from, and that is from everybody else. Called extraction. That's just a mathematical fact. And before I finish, folks, we have a few more minutes. 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Please go ahead and hit 1 if you want to speak. But yes, sir, we have to remember that. And what we've been having for several decades is extraction. Now, you're going to hear some of the right-wingers say, oh, no, it's not a zero-sum game. If the rich is getting rich, as long as everybody is getting wealthier, it's fine. And they make all these other claims. And then the other claims that they make is, well, you know, it's not that the riches are coming out of America because we're expanding globally. Well, if the riches are not coming out of America, what does it matter, because it's coming out of somewhere else lower? I mean, what have they actually done to us? As they exported our jobs and then brought it back, what they did is exported the high-paying jobs. When the market here declined, they then bring it back at a lower cost. Oh, everybody's touting how great manufacturing is improving here in the United States, which is true, but it's improving at a lower rate. So therefore, it makes more sense for these guys to bring the jobs back, because now Americans will work for less. They've accomplished their mission. The other mission is to reduce entitlement. And you reduce the entitlement, oh, it makes things a lot better for them. So, I mean, Americans have to look at the big picture. The big picture is that we are... Yes, sir.
Can I mention one thing real quickly here? And that
Absolutely.
Is Warren Buffett, like him and have nothing against him, but Forbes noticed that he had income. He had like $40 billion 1 year and 45 the next and 50 the next. At that same time, to me, that's $5 billion income each year. He had made his tax form available, so we know that he paid tax on $63 million. Okay, that's all. That was the adjusted gross income that he paid tax on. He paid 17% tax on that. And that indicates how there is two different types of income taxes. One is on wages and what people who are actually working make. And then there's other income tax on capital gains and interest and other things that's taxed at a much, much lower rate. So that's how the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, just by the government policies that they have on taxing. So you're exactly right on what you were saying there.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and these policies need to change. I mean, why would somebody who's out there 9 to 5 or whatever work schedule they have, whatever working hours they have, pay more in taxes on the same amount of income than somebody who sits by the pool and says, but I'm risking my money. And you say, okay, you're risking your money, I'm risking my life. When I go build your bridge, when I go sweep your floor, when I go do all these things, when I work in your factories, what am I risking?
That brings up one other point here. Here we have Milton Friedman, who said that the purpose of a company was to make profits and to do that. In Germany, they do not say that. They say that a corporation is a privilege and that the stakeholders should be participating in it. And the stakeholders are the shareholders of it, the workers of it, and the common good. And so a company should have help the society and the economy, their community. We don't have that here. They say the workers have a big stakeholder part of the corporation. We don't have that here. It's
exactly.
The,
in fact,
that has been changed with that.
Right. In Europe, you'll find that on the board, you'll find that you have labor as a representative of that corporation's board as well. We don't have that here. You try to do that and try to say that our workers should be a part of the spoils. In other words, their labor should be, they should be a part of the
profit. Ahead of the table.
Then you're called a socialist. But I think I have Ms. Det Shepherd on. Det, come on and make your point, my dear friend.
Yeah, you've got a couple minutes left. Just one comment I want to make is it's extremely normal when we talk about economics and what's called the economy, quote-unquote the economy. I think what we need to do as a people here in the United States is stop focusing on the nebulous economy, which is the one that we can't control, that we're lied to about, that we're completely deceived about, and we need to focus on something very simple, our economy. What does that mean? It means the economy in your household. I don't give a crap about Warren Buffett. I don't give a damn about any of these Forbes people or any of these Kennedys or any of these people that came before us, because they are what is called extremely privileged. You know, Donald Trump, yeah, he's like a freak of nature. He makes all this money, and I've read his books before, and it's entertainment. You know, it's like junk food. You don't want to eat too much of it, but once in a while you take a little bite. I'm never going to meet those people. I'm never going to be in their circles, and they're never going to know who I am. So I don't waste my time with those people anymore. The only thing I talk about or look at in terms of what's going to change for me in my house is my economy. Because do you really care how is the dollar trading against the yen over in China? Do you really care what's going on in South America? If you say you don't, then people think that you're just crass and you're cold and you're unfeeling. I argue, no, you're not. You're being sensible when you say, I'm going to work on my economy. And what does that mean? Stop going into debt until you're 90 years old. You know, stop trying to live this American dream, which, by the way, you have to be asleep for it to be a reality. And that's why they call it a dream. And just focus on what's going on at home. Thank you so much for opening the mic.
Well, let me tell you, that is what my favorite George Carlin said in one of his great stand-ups. I love that phrase when he said that. I want to, first of all, I agree with you where you say we all have to look at our own economy and perform within our own economy. I agree 100%. We make our economy to a certain extent. I'm a self-employed software developer turned self-employed media. I just formed my new company. Done all kinds of media, both radio, videos, and all that kind of stuff. So I am trying to do what I have to do that merges with the political interests that I have. The part that I don't think I differ with you, but I want to stress to people is, while that folks like myself and Bruce, who are political activists, ensure that you, Mr. Shepherd, can actually work on your own economy, because there are forces out there that can inhibit you working on your own economy. I know you made a very important thing about don't go into debt. I noticed that your tall letters here are Det Shepherd, which tells me a whole lot. Debt is something that we try to avoid at all costs. I agree with you. Some people have no choice, but I agree with you that most people can have less debt. However, our economy also can be harassed by the economy, and that economy is controlled by the plutocracy who owns the government, who can affect our economy. That's all I want into that. Makes sense. You can give me your answer in the closing statement that you're giving right now, Dad.
I don't disagree with you, but anyone that tells me they're interested in politics solely to protect me from these wolves, I disagree. We need to stop feeding them energy. There's an old American Indian saying that says you have two wolves inside of you. One is good and one is evil. How do you starve the evil one? You just stop feeding it. That's what we need to do when it comes to politics, because politics means poll, which means opposite, which means division, which means duality. Thank you for opening the mic.
Thank you very much, Det. Now, Jack, give me your closing statement, sir, real quick.
Okay.
Please.
All right. There are actually two things that I want to stress that's screwing up the whole world, and that is extremism and fundamentalism. The third thing is pandering. This has not been discussed, but we have to fight it. That's what the politicians do. You have to pander to somebody. Forget it. That is what's screwing up everything. Pandering.
Thank you very much,
no
Jack.
Pander bear.
I appreciate it, Jack. As usual, I hear from you weekly. Bruce, give me your closing statement, please.
I'd like to make a statement back that your own economy and what you're working with, yes, that's all you can control. But when politics gets involved and they take away over a third of your money before you even see it, then that is something that can be changed through politics, not just staying away from it and not talking about anything. So get involved with politics. It's going to take away your money, and it does affect you and your local economy, or your household goods, your whole family, what your future is going to be like. There is a way that you would not be taxed on anything under $1 million and still pay all the revenue in the country. But think about how you could get ahead if you didn't pay taxes. You'd have more money to do things in the future. So
thank you
ahead.
Very
You're
much,
running
Bruce. I'm 30 seconds
sure.
out. Folks, please remember we have three Coffee Party radio shows on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. We have I Take Liberty with My Coffee with Bobby Rodrigo. On Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Lunch with Loudon. And, of course, you're here with me Saturdays at 1 p.m. I'm Egberto Willis with Politics Done Right. Thank you very much for giving me the time that you've allowed me to have your ears for this few minutes. Please do remember to go to CoffeePartyUSA.com. CoffeePartyUSA.com. Please become a member. We are doing a lot to move the country forward. Coffee Party on, Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. You have a wonderful day.